So hopefully you recognise me with this big lockdown hair that I've got now. I'm sure lots of us are looking forward to many things returning to normal, but let's open in prayer. Father God, we just thank you for your word, and we just hope that we hear your word clearly, what you are trying to tell us, what you are trying to speak to us through these words this morning, and just that we have open hearts and minds as well as our ears. In Jesus' name, amen. So just thinking of these crowds that were lining the streets in Jerusalem, and these many thousands of people. I don't know what the biggest crowd you've ever been in, but I think for me it was not actually known, but it was at least 120,000 when I went to see Queen in Knebworth Park in 1986, which would actually be their final concert, and just a vast amount of people. It was just incredible. So to think of those crowds on Palm Sunday waiting for Jesus to arrive, the triumphal entry into Jerusalem that Jesus made, which on the day which we call Palm Sunday, because the crowd welcomed him by spreading palm branches in his path. It must have been a really dramatic sight as Jesus approached, and he approached on a donkey. And the crowds were shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel." And those who greeted him were convinced he was the Messiah, the long, long awaited King of Israel, sent by God to establish his kingdom on earth. Hosanna means, "Please save us." But soon, within a few days, many had turned against Jesus and demanded his death. Now, these weren't necessarily the same people who had welcomed him, because the crowds cheering were likely to be made up of visiting pilgrims who had travelled to Jerusalem for the Passover. It was said that the population of Jerusalem at that time, was about 50,000 people. And the pilgrims would have increased that to 100 to 120,000. So there were lots of visitors in Jerusalem for the Passover. Nevertheless, the reversal of the attitudes of the people in such a short space of time is nothing but shocking. Because Jesus wasn't the kind of Messiah they wanted. They were hoping for a political king who could storm the gates with an army that would overthrow Rome and provide peace and prosperity for their nation. Something like a superhero who would fix things and restore the world to how it should be. Just imagine now the kind of superhero who could go to the Suez Canal and just sort that ship so that it could unblock the canal. They weren't interested in a Messiah with a spiritual kingdom who didn't come to set up a political system, because he came instead to change our hearts and save us from our sins by his death and resurrection. And they probably didn't like his call for them to repent of their sins. So within a week, the shouts of "Hosanna, please save us," turned to "Crucify him." The fickle crowd was following Jesus for the wrong reasons. Where would you have been on that first Palm Sunday? Would you have been among those who welcomed him? Or would you have been among the sceptical crowds? It's easy to say with the benefit of 2,000 years of hindsight that you would have been in the crowds that welcomed him. And it's easy to condemn those who condemn Jesus. But would we have acted any differently? What kind of Messiah would we have wanted? Why do we follow Jesus? We should follow Jesus because of who he is and not what we think he might do for us. We follow Jesus because he's God's Messiah and King. And if your faith rests on this person of Jesus Christ, as revealed in Scripture, then you will not be shaken when things happen to you. Whether you go to prison, or whether you are blessed with riches, whether you suffer terrible health, die young, or whether you enjoy good health, your faith should not rest on happy circumstances. Your faith should rest on who Jesus is and what he has promised. And our text this morning reveals lines of proof that Jesus is God's Messiah and King. Fulfilled prophecies prove that Jesus is God's Messiah and King. And John mentions two Old Testament prophecies that Jesus fulfilled on Palm Sunday. The first one is from Psalm 118, verses 25 and 26. O Lord, do save, we beseech you. O Lord, we beseech you, do send prosperity. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you from the house of the Lord. And in verse 15, John cites an abbreviated form of the prophecy from Zechariah 9:9. Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, your king is coming, seated on a donkey's colt. And John's point in referring to Zechariah's prophecy is to show that Jesus, in his first coming, was not the conquering king riding on a war horse, but a humble king offering himself as the sacrifice for our sins. So the message of Jesus' triumphal entry is, make sure that you follow him because of who he is, not because of what you think he might provide for you in this life. He does provide forgiveness of sins and eternal life to all who believe in him. And it wasn't just those crowds in Jerusalem who wanted a different kind of Messiah. The disciples didn't understand at this point what was going on. And they wouldn't understand until Jesus was glorified. And Jesus had been trying to get through to the disciples that far from being the Messiah they would have wanted, another sort of superhero who can swoop in and fight all the enemies, Jesus was in fact a Messiah who would suffer and die. In Mark 8:31, then he began to teach them that the Son of Man must undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and the scribes and be killed and after 3 days rise again. Peter reacted strongly to this. He didn't like to hear all this talk of Jesus' death, as we all would, and he took Jesus aside and began to rebuke him. But Jesus firmly corrects his misunderstanding, and he tries to help the disciples face this reality. If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it. And those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it. And we can sometimes fall into the same trap as Peter. We would like our Messiah to be strong and invincible and able to sort out all our problems exactly at the time we need it, with one sweep of a mighty hand. But the trouble is, we see strength in the same way as the disciples did, from a human perspective rather than an eternal one. We see strength as the ability to carry out our own will through power and force. But in the eyes of God, strength looks very different. For God, strength is measured in vulnerability, in sacrifice. We've seen many wars, and ultimately evil won't be overcome by military or political might. But it will be overcome through a self-giving sacrifice of a humble Saviour. Jesus came to give himself away. That's the kind of Messiah he is. And he calls his disciples to do the same as he does. If you want to become my followers, deny yourselves and take up your cross and follow me. And this doesn't just mean following him just now and again. This means Jesus is the King of Kings, is the Lord of our lives. And if that is true, we should follow him daily. The Christian writer Tom Wright says, following Jesus is not an invitation to accompany him on a pleasant afternoon hike, but to go on a walk of danger and risk. We also may want to follow a Jesus that doesn't require any response from us. We can be given to the dangerous temptation to take the Jesus of the Bible and twist him into a version that we are more comfortable with. It's a Jesus who's okay with our materialism. He doesn't mind that we have a nominal approach to devotion. I was listening to something on the radio. They were talking about the census, and they were talking about that section of the census that asks what your religion is. And they were saying that they believe, these commentators on the radio, that a lot of people say they're Christians when in fact they are nominal Christians. So they like the idea of meeting as a community of in fellowship, but not all the sacrifice that goes with it. And in actual fact, Richard Dawkins, that famous atheist, he actually calls himself a cultural Christian, meaning he quite likes the songs, the carols that are sung at Christmas, and the morals of Christianity, but just doesn't believe in God. We maybe want a Jesus where we don't have that commitment in day-to-day life, just when it suits us. But that is not who Jesus is, and that is not why Jesus came. So the challenge for us is to stop living our daily lives as we would want, and instead taking up that costly call to follow Jesus daily, rather than our own desires. So following daily is about encouraging everyone to grow in confidence in their daily walk with Jesus. The Methodist preacher John Wesley used to say, the first task of a mission is to convert the people already in our pews, which we may not like, but it basically means that all of us need to be growing in living relationship daily with God, through prayer, through the reading of his word, and through service. And there are lots of resources to help us. There's a daily prayer meeting, which many people meet currently online, and much easier to meet online, 8:30 Monday to Friday, which I think lots of people here benefit from. There's lots of, if you use a phone, which I do, there's lots of apps. There's the Bible in 1 year, there's Bible Gateway, there's many resources that we can use to help us connect daily. And when things do return to normal, acts of service in the church or acts of service for the church outside of the church walls, many ways that we can connect daily. The crowds in Jerusalem on Palm Sunday were looking for a different kind of Messiah, a Messiah who would satisfy their own personal desires and expectations. Jesus challenged Peter to consider whether he really wanted the Messiah or whether he just wanted his own version. And we too are called for the same kind of reflection. Do we want to follow the Jesus we would quite like? Or are we willing to follow the real Jesus? The Jesus that rode into Jerusalem on the humble donkey. The suffering Jesus with the holes in his hands and feet. This is the only kind of Jesus who can save us, God's Messiah and King. And Jesus' words remind us to follow daily means to take up the cross, the symbol of the heart of the Christian faith. Dying and resurrection, death and life, and hope. And to close in this theme from God for All with the words from Bishop Emma. This is a great time of opportunity. People need now more than ever to hear Jesus' gospel message of hope. Hope out of death. Comfort in pain, healing and blessing. And the good news, the very, very, very good news, is that when we give up our own lives to follow the real Jesus, the suffering Jesus, then our lives are actually saved. If we commit costly, daily discipleship, following him daily, carrying his cross, not in our own strength, but in his, then we don't need material things. We will have all we need. And he doesn't let us walk on our own. He walks with us every step of the way. I am with you always, to the very end of the age. We consider and weigh the cost that is rightly ours to bear, the call to follow daily. And then we trust God, because he will provide all the rest. And as we commit and recommit and recommit to follow Jesus daily, we know that in ourselves, in our own strength, we can do nothing. And we have nothing. And yet in him, we have everything. Amen.